Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 53rd, I think. I'm so losing track now. 53rd episode of Edu All-Stars, and the third in our marathon tonight. My name is Todd Nasloney. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
And my name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. And tonight, Keegan is absent because we are recording our summer series all on one day, and we're releasing them once a week. So he actually graduated high school today, and so he won't be on for the whole month of June, unfortunately. So we'll miss him, but congrats to Keegan for graduating. Also, we'd like to welcome you to the podcast and thank everyone thank you guys for the great response so far. The feedback that you've left on iTunes really helps us out with the rating, so really, truly appreciate that.
And we would like to thank Remind 101 for sponsoring this marathon of Edu All-Stars episodes. Remind 101 is a great tool that you can use to text parents and students without ever needing their phone number, and they never need yours. It's free, it's super easy, and you can learn more at remind101.com, or on our website you can follow the links on eduallstars.com.
So we just came out of the locker room from halftime of our Edu All-Stars marathon. We drank lots of water, unlike LeBron James, so hopefully we will not cramp up in the third and fourth quarters. Yeah. So anyway, as you're listening, if you could tweet using the Edu All-Stars hashtag, it would be much appreciated.
And we are so excited to have a good, dear friend of Chris and I on tonight, somebody we've been wanting to have on for a while, and it just worked out with this marathon. And so we have Andrea Keller, who is a technology specialist in Irving, Texas. She was named TCEA's, the Texas Technology Conference, Teacher of the Year in 2011. And was named by the National School Board Association as one of the 20 to watch in education. She's also a co-host of the podcast series EdTech Chat and Chew. And so thank you, Andrea, for coming on with us tonight.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me, because, you know, I've always watched you guys and, of course, listened to you guys. But I was so excited when I got that message saying, hey, Andrea, you want to be on the podcast? I was like, yes, that'd be awesome.
Well, I guess, you know, the best way to start is to just give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you got started in education.
Well, actually, I spent, 11 years in the classroom as a life teacher, which is living in a functional environment. So I had students with various abilities that were low verbal and nonverbal. They were Down syndrome, students with autism, students with cerebral palsy. And we just did some crazy cool things with those kiddos. And I then went back and got my master's in educational technology, and I left the classroom last year, and I just completed my first year as an instructional technology specialist.
Awesome. So how did you know, like, you were ready to get out of the classroom and kind of move into something different? Was it technology that kind of spurred that on, or what was the deal there?
Well, actually, I'd had some of my kids, since they were in kindergarten. And like I said, I'd finished my master's, and I knew that I wanted to do something more with technology. I'd looked into doing assistive technology, which is working with students with various abilities and really increasing the technology in their classroom. But then I had three fifth graders that I'd had since kindergarten graduate up to sixth grade last year, and I thought that that was just about the perfect time to finally really pursue trying to move out of my classroom, because I loved all my students that were there, but those three, like I said, I'd had them for 6 years. It was a perfect time for me to make a change. So I was able to, there was a job opening at my campus that I'm at right now, and they called me up and said, we'd love for you to be our ITS.
That's awesome.
So do you still find time to sneak away and go spend some time in those life classrooms?
I do. I had lunch with them on Fridays, and I do with our podcast that we have, the EdTech Chat and Chew. We've actually done some collaborative projects, and a couple of them have been geared specifically towards connecting life skills classrooms with regular education classrooms, because that's something that a lot of life teachers don't realize that they can do, is connect globally, because it is such a different environment, but a lot of regular education classrooms, it's a great way for them to connect with somebody that's a little bit different than what they're used to.
So I'm going to skip a question, Chris, and you can take the one. I'm skipping. But so you mentioned the EdTech Chat and Chew podcast, and I think it's a great little podcast that you'll do. Can you tell us more about it and how it got started and what it exists to be?
So my friend Diane Smoke, Ms. Smoke-Rowski, she is super collaborative, and so she and I have been talking a little bit. That was who I actually had my first chance when my students started Skype calling and doing global connections. I said, these are students with low verbal, nonverbal kiddos. She was one of my first classrooms that we actually started connecting with. And so we've been chatting back and forth of how we could continue on our learning even though we were in different roles other than teachers. And so we pulled in Karen, and we pulled in Michael, and we started our EdTech chat and chew group, and it's only about 20 minutes long. We meet almost every Monday. It's kind of this last month of school has been kind of crazy. But it's about 20 minutes, so that way it's just a little snippet, enough for a teacher to watch during their lunchtime. And we share resources that we've used in our classrooms. We share ideas that they can use. We've had a game show on a couple of times. We also share like books we've read, but it's kind of what we're doing in our schools right now that teachers can take back and use right away.
Cool. So at TCEA a couple of years ago, which is Texas Computer Educators Association, I believe is what it stands for. That's kind of where I became a connected educator, and actually I met you, and I'd kind of known Todd from the district, but that's really where we kind of hung out, and we actually shared some burgers in some little dive bar where some scantily dressed women were serving us food, and had a couple of adult beverages along the way. And anyway, that was kind of the turning point for me. But getting kind of segueing into this, you had won TCEA Teacher of the Year in 2011.
Worst segue ever. I just got
scantily clad women and Teacher of the Year. I don't know.
We delete these later, right?
No edit. We move on. So anyway, in 2011, you did win Teacher of the Year for TCEA, and you also were a NSBA 20 to watch. I just want to kind of look back and think back to those awards, and what kind of doors opened up because you won those awards?
Oh, wow. I think one of the big things is a lot more people took me more seriously in that I could, because, like I said, and I was a special education teacher at the time. And being a special education teacher, well, teaching is hard anyway, but being a special ed teacher for a life classroom, you're kind of really secluded, not because people mean to, but they don't necessarily know how to interact and what our kids can really do. So I think that that really opened up some doors of being able to connect with lots more people that could see. And I think the biggest thing, too, is that I believe in my students, and if my students could do it, anybody can do it. So I think it really opened up doors for other students, because then teachers saw all the amazing things that my kids were doing, and that they were like, oh, well, if she can do it and her kids can do it, then my kids can do it too. So not necessarily just for me, but for my students too, which I think was a huge deal.
So what was it like, I mean, getting that recognition? Was it like crazy to you? Do you even remember any of it?
I don't remember much of it, actually. I met some really cool people along the way, and it's nice to I will admit it is kind of nice to have in your Twitter information that you've won that. But it is just a way for you to connect even more with that you're not just a person. Well, we're not all just people anyway, but it's a way to start a conversation. But yeah, I don't really remember all that happened, because it was such a blur. There were so many people there that were supporting me, and it was super blur.
So I love seeing all. Now, Andrew, you and I are connected on many social networks, but you do all these cool little tech challenges and these awards and badges and all this stuff for your staff that you work with. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about kind of your vision and how you put those little challenges out for your teachers?
Sure. So this year, like I said, I'm an instructional technology specialist, and so I had a different view of how to work with staff, that I need to work more with staff too. And I work in an awesome district who is very technology, very technology supportive. But I also realize that teachers are super busy and don't always have enough time. And I also know that, as crazy as this might sound, I'm a little energetic. And sometimes when people see me, they're like, Andrea, you can go away now. We're good. We got it. So I was like, you know, I really want to get my teachers involved. And what better way than challenges? Because that's all, if you look at education right now, it's all about gaming and challenges. So I started creating 4 monthly challenges. One was, they were all data-driven they were all pretty much data-driven, but one was encouraged. I first called it non-negotiable, and that kind of threw people off, so it became encouraged because I couldn't make anything non-negotiable. One was science-driven because our science scores needed some help. One was data-driven, and then one was a Web 2.0 tool. So I put those out there, and I had a ton of great response when I first started. Well, and then reality set in, and the next month that I did it, not quite so much. So I had some teachers say, hey, this is awesome. They said, but this doesn't pertain to my students. Well, in reality, it did pertain to their students. They just had to see. I wanted to use that one as a discovery tool. So then I went back and I revamped, and I even was told, maybe you should not do the challenges at all. Well, I wanted to do the challenges. That's what I wanted to do. So I did them. I revamped them. And so then I said how a kindergarten teacher could do it, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Oh, wait, this is not your subject, though. Here's how you could do it for social studies, for math, for science. So then the teacher could see the tool and how it could be used in many different ways. But in addition to learning new technologies, the teachers got a badge if they did one. And if they did two, they got a badge and some swag. And if they did three, they got a badge, some swag, and a jeans pass. And if they did all four of them, they got a badge, swag, jeans pass, and I took over the class for 30 minutes.
Ooh, and they're all that's nice. Also got,
yeah, I had a couple. I only had two teachers that did that, though. That's okay. It's my first year. And I said, I'm kind of outgoing, energetic, and people were like, Andrew, I've got other things I got to do. And then if they did all four, their name also went into a drawing for a free hour lunch.
So, oh, wow.
Very nice.
But things that I could do and that weren't going to cost me anything. So definitely a learning experience and a learning curve. And I tracked it all. And next year I know how I want to do things differently. So it's even more teachers participate in it.
Cool. So tell us about your Facebook group, the Techformers Unite.
So I start with these challenges and I was putting them out on Facebook, some of the different ones I was doing, and I had some people say, hey, I want to do those too. So we created this Techformers Unite group where we started around December, and there was a ginormous ice storm, so we got a lot of action that month because nobody could do anything except for sit in their house. But we realized, though, that teachers don't have time to go out and find lessons or try new things, or they might want to try new things, but they don't know how they can do it for themselves because, like, I want to always try some new technology, but I have to kind of have a starting point. So we started Techformers Unite, and it started with a group of six, and I think that we're almost to 700 members now, and we try to do, it kind of petered off this last month because it was the end of the school year and it's been crazy, yeah. But we're back up to about once a week we post a new challenge.
So you're also Connected Educators, very active on Twitter. How did you get started on Twitter, I guess, is one of the questions I have. And when did you know that, like, your aha moment for Twitter? When did it click?
My aha moment with Twitter would have to be Podstock. I was a plurker and a Twitter, and so I connected with Jen Wagner, actually, and she said, hey, you need to connect with this person named Kevin Honeycutt. So I connected with Kevin Honeycutt, and it kind of all went from there. And then I started meeting these people face-to-face, and I started making connections like this. And so, yeah, I think I was pretty early adopter of Twitter. Not like the earliest, wasn't like one of the first, but I was probably a year or two in. That's when I started tweeting.
Mm-hmm. And so looking at this last year and having a change in career, kind of what you were doing, what would you say is probably the biggest thing that you've learned?
Honestly, that I kept all my skin, which has been kind of exciting. It's been kind of nice. My biggest thing that I've learned is that, much like my students, we all have to have a goal in mind. Even for educators, like, I can't just put something out there and expect somebody to do it. I have to have that goal in mind, and almost like an IEP for myself that keeps me on track, but can also keep teachers on track. Because if we're not going back and watching what the teachers are really doing, then are we really getting through to them? So I think that's kind of my biggest aha, is that everybody in this whole entire world needs some sort of IEP.
Mm-hmm. Now, Andrea, when I've sat with you before, and I've always loved hearing your stories about the experiences you had in your life classes and the kind of kids that you got to work with. What is one of your favorite memories of working with that student population? Because I think you're the first guest that we've had on that has worked with that kind of population of students that is not mixed in with the general ed population, that has these different these skill sets that are different than other kids, and your reflection on that has always been very enlightening, just getting to talk to somebody that's in an environment. So I guess our viewers have never heard somebody like you talk about that kind of environment.
Well, I think the biggest, some of the most fun that I've had have actually been our Skype calls or our Google Hangouts, because it gave my kids a chance that didn't necessarily get invited to birthday parties, didn't necessarily get a chance to leave our classroom, a chance to actually leave our classroom virtually. Now, when we first started our Skype calls, they were bad. They were not pretty. They were really bad because my kids didn't know how to act with these. And then once we wrote some social stories and trained them how to interact, we first started with just reading stories. But then we progressed into, like this last year, I actually helped my former class, helped them with a Christmas project where they had 6 classrooms, I think, that they all exchanged Christmas cards within the district, but then they shared what their family traditions was, and it was so cool. I got to help with that, and I walked in, and one of the other classrooms that was participating in this actually had their student using a voice output device to tell the other students via video conference their traditions for Christmas, and I was just like, and see, this just opened up those doors for these kids in like no other way, that they got to have friends that weren't necessarily in that school. And how cool is that?
Yeah, totally. You know?
So
I love that you were using the social media avenues to connect your students. And I love what you say of, you know, they didn't have friends at their campus or in their area, and they kind of built those friendships from afar with people who were even, now were your mystery Skypes with students who were also in other life classes, or were they with general ed students, or?
And we didn't necessarily actually ever do mystery Skypes, but for the Christmas project, that was other life classrooms for that specific one. But in the past, when I've done a Christmas card exchange, it was with a 6th grade classroom, actually, and they would always read us a book, and then we taught them how to, like, make hot chocolate one time. Like I said, Miss Smoke always did a fantastic job helping with that. And then we'd always end up with a Christmas carol. But we also had a chance, too, though. I saw a tweet one time, and we got to Skype with Olivia Holt, who's a Disney star, over bullying. And so during that time, because some of my students did go to general education classrooms depending on their abilities and what was appropriate, because, you know, least restrictive environment, that's where we want them to be. But for the Olivia Holt one, where she was talking about bullying, we actually invited the 2 students from each of the classes that my students participated in that were being good friends and good mentors to my students, and they were able to come participate in that video conference. So then those kids were like, oh my gosh, I just got to meet Olivia Holt. She sent pictures and everything, but it also gave my kids a chance to see other students asking questions and doing a Skype call appropriately, but then it gave those regular ed students a chance to see that my classroom could do the same things that they could do.
I love that, putting that image in there for them.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I won't lie.
So, Andrea, what's some great books that you're reading right now, or some blogs that you read, you know, kind of regularly that you could recommend to others?
One of my favorite books I just finished reading, actually, is Reading in the Wild by Donna Lynn Miller, who wrote The Book Whisperer. And, oh my goodness, I am so excited about trying some different things with technology and with reading next year. So it's definitely on my to-do list. And I have a ginormous stack of professional books that I'm reading this summer. Mindset is one of them. Of course, Steve Dimbo and Adam Bellow's book, Untangling the Web, is another one that I love. And I follow hundreds of blogs, but they're more for my pleasure, like random blogs that I might find somewhere. However, I do have my fifth grade teacher's blog that I love. I'll have to send you guys a link. Her name is Caitlin Andrews, and she writes some great things about what she's doing with her fifth grade class. And my art teacher has a blog, and Come to the Art Side, I believe is what it's called, with Alex Alkire, and she has some awesome things she does in her art classroom that she shares. which you don't really find an art teacher sharing that, or I haven't found as many art teachers.
No, there's not. I actually taught art my first year of school, having basically no art training at all, and so I'm like looking out there for any art lesson plans out, and they didn't exist. I think they probably do more now. That was 4 or 5 years ago, but yeah, there really weren't any art bloggers out there.
Right. Yeah. Now Kevin Honeycutt has
Art Snacks, right?
Yes, Art Snacks, yes, which is really cool, which always has great lessons too.
Cool.
So, Andrew, if you have to look back on one of those moments that you've worked with kids, and is there one that's going to stick with you forever, an interaction with a parent or with a student that will never leave your heart?
Oh, I want to say honestly, I have a lot of those because in the position that I was in, I had a chance to be really emotionally connected with my students. You know, 6 years is a long time. However, I have to say that I have this one student who's now in second grade, and he was this new school that I'm at, because I opened a unit this 3 years ago. They just took in these kids and just loved them and like treated them like with respect and individuals and just really include these kids. So we had a parade last week. Yeah, it was last week, for Care Day, which is celebrating authors and readers at Elliott. And the second grade teacher that this student has now had for 2 years, because she looped up with the classroom, that each class had to dress up as a character from a book that their class had read, and their book had read Charlotte's Web. So I'm taking pictures, you know, because I don't get to interact quite as much as I'd like to with my life kiddos. But I'm taking pictures, and here comes her class, and my student with his buddy is leading the parade dressed as Ducks, and he was just being totally normal and totally fit in and wouldn't think anything different, and like I almost cried. I was sitting there in the hallway saying, this is what it's all about, that every student can achieve if you believe in them. It doesn't matter, you just every student has that possibility and ability to be anything they want to be as long as somebody believes in them. It was just, but I have lots of those kind of moments, but that was definitely the most recent one.
So looking back 5 or 10 years, I want you to give your current self, your former self, a piece of advice.
Oh, jeez. Oh. 5 years ago. Where was I? Oh, that's a hard question. I watch your show. And
I was going to say, if you listen every week, you know we get this one every single week.
I know. What was I thinking? I think... And it's something I still have a hard time with is get over it. Like that's my biggest thing.
That's great.
I think
is that. Yeah, that's
just
great advice.
Just let it. Well, as it, you know, as they
there
say.
There we
in the
go.
Movie,
do we need a Todd? Can you go? Todd, I want to hear your rendition of "Let It Go."
No.
But I think I still have a hard time with that. But I think that's the biggest advice I can still give myself and always give myself is just get over it. And you know, 5 years ago too. I think I've always been a pretty decent teacher, but not until I moved to this new school did I kind of get to reinvent myself and how I wanted to be perceived with my kids and my staff, opening up that life classroom. And I think that, and so 3 years ago, my motto became believe. And that was just where I had to rethink to myself, I need to believe in every person that I meet, no matter if I like them or if I do not like them. Or if they're having a tough time, or I'm having a tough time, I need to believe in everybody. But also, but yeah, along with those lines of believe, you just got to get over it.
So, Andrea, you know, this question is one that's coming too. So, if somebody were to use three words to describe you, what would be three words that you hope they would use?
Passionate. Energetic. Oh, geez. I have to have three.
Yep.
I thought there's two.
Trifecta. If you don't have three, you're just like California Chrome with only two.
Oh, thanks.
Zing.
And honest. I think that I just want people to know, or hopefully they say that I'm honest in a nice way.
Awesome.
So, but definitely passionate. So
the last thing we always kind of like to end our shows with is, what are you currently passionate about? And let's stick, keep it to education this time. What are you currently passionate about in education?
You know, what I'm passionate about right now in education is just, of course, the use of technology, but I'm really all about gaming right now and these challenges. I think that's what I'm super passionate about, and I'm trying to learn more and more about how people use them in their own classrooms, in their own schools, but definitely my challenges, I think, is what I'm most passionate about right now.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Well, Andrea, we wanted to thank you so much for coming on with us tonight. It has been a blast getting to see you again and talk with you and getting to hear some of your story and share it with others. So thank you.
No, thank you guys for having me on, because I said Absolutely. You guys have some amazing people on, so I'm glad I
You're amazing too. You're the 54th amazing person we've had on. No, 53rd.
53rd. Oh, good. Chris so is as bad as I am.
Not in that's order. What it is. Not ranked in order. Not ranked.
No, that's what it is. You delete it. That's what it was. So Chris is right and Todd is wrong.
There we go.
When we get to 500, 53 is going to look like a dream. So.
And so, for those of you that are listening, we wanted to remind you that some ways you can connect with us are on Twitter with @EduAllStarsHQ and the hashtag EduAllStars. You can also check out our website, eduallstars.com, or on iTunes, you can search EduAllStars, or like Chris says, you can just Google it, and you'll find our stuff somewhere.
That's right. And next week, we're going to have, actually, if you're watching live, it's going to actually be in about 15 minutes. We're going to have Kim Bearden from the Ron Clark Academy, and then we're going to take the rest of June off. So hopefully, if you're just downloading these on your podcast, it's been very seamless, and you've gotten one a week for the month of June. And if you're watching live, always. Yeah, we have to wait till July till we get something new. Sorry, guys.
And we'd also like to thank Remind 101 for sponsoring this marathon for us. Check them out at remind101.com or eduallstars.com. Thank you again, Andrea, and for everybody listening. And we will either see you in 15 minutes or see you next week.
Thanks, guys.